Psalm 3 says, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying to me, there is no help for you in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. Hallelujah, we sing with jubilant energy to the God of our salvation. He has been present with us. He has been a comfort to us. He has been a provider for us. He has been a healer for us. He has been our God. He is our God. He is our life. He is our love. He is our strength. He is our benefactor and source of every blessing, every good thing, and every reason we have to live. Hallelujah. You, O God, are the lifter of our souls. And we believe that God is able. He is able to do what he said he would do. He is able to accomplish big things. He is able to make something out of nothing. He's able to make somebodies out of nobodies. He is able to pick us up when we're down. He is able to transform hopeless spaces into places of hope. Hallelujah. You, O God, are the lifter of our souls. Let's begin our sermon time together by standing and praying this doxology from the book of Ephesians. We have done this for several weeks, so if you know it by heart, disregard the words on the screen and lift your eyes to heaven and pray with me. Let's pray. Now to him who is able, now to him by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we ask or imagine. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. God is able, so we can. That's been the theme of our sermons for the past several weeks. We are taking a cue from Paul's correspondence to the Ephesian church, where he wrote that prayer that we just recited in unison. God, through the power that is at work within us, that is the Holy Spirit, God is able to accomplish, Paul prays, abundantly more than all we can ever ask or imagine. Whatever our imaginations can dream up, God is able to do abundantly. Some translation says infinitely more. I love the way it's written in the Message translation where it says God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His Spirit deeply and gently within us. There are so many great truths in that. And one of them, I don't know if you've picked up on this, is that God has chosen to do a lot of what he has done through us. What a responsibility that God has given us, his created beings, to work his power through us. The issue is not judging the veracity, truth of that statement. The evidence, I believe, is overwhelming. God, throughout the history of this world, has accomplished some amazing, gigantic things. The issue for us is, are we prepared to believe that truth? And are we ready to take possession of the land of Can rather than wandering in the wilderness of Can't? Just take an inventory of your life right now. How often do you say we can versus we can't? Wherever you reside, my call through these sermons is for us to embrace the God who possesses abundant ability and empowers us with the Holy Spirit to participate with him in God's big agenda, God's big mission. Because God is able, and we start with that. We start with God's ability. We start with God's power, God's strength. Because God is able, we can give him glory. Because God is able, we can do big things. Because God is able, we can give more. Because God is able, we can walk together. In fact, because God is able, we can do all things. Because God is able, we can do all things. Philippians, the letter to the Philippians. This is a chapter 4 of that letter, starting at verse number 10. Paul writing in this letter to the Philippian church, churches in Philippi. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. In any case, it was kind of you to share my distress. You Philippians indeed know that in the early days, the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs more than once. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that accumulates to your account. I have been paid in full and have more than enough. I am fully satisfied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will fully satisfy every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Apostle Paul, he's in jail, probably house arrest. He's unable to go where he pleases or go where he wants. But he's imprisoned. He's confined. He's unable to go about freely in his daily matters. In the first part of this letter, Paul explains that his situation, his circumstance, has actually advanced the cause of the gospel. In chapter 1, starting at verse number 12, he writes, I want you to know, beloved, that what has happened to me has actually helped to spread the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers and sisters, having been made confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, dare to speak the word with greater boldness and without fear. As he continues to describe his situation, Paul repeatedly says that he is rejoicing. Now, what a bewildering disposition. I have never been in prison, and I hope that I never have to be tested in that way. But I am pretty confident that if I was in prison, rejoicing would not be the characteristic or behavior that I would have. I would be overcome with anxiety. I would be consumed by my circumstance. I'm more likely to be frightened to death. Paul, on the other hand, was consistent in his reports to the churches he corresponded with, that God's message would not be hindered. In fact, God's message, it advanced despite the circumstances. And for Paul, that was a source of joy and resolve to continue the work that God had called him to do. Now that's an important feature to garner from Paul's writing as we consider Philippians and the impact of the writing. We always have to keep in mind Paul's situation. Now, if Paul was hanging out on the beach in the Caribbean, it would be relatively easy, I would think, for him to write words that he writes in chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See, I, I can see that. I can see Paul sitting on a beach, you know, laid back in a lawn chair with a tall glass of Kool-Aid and writing those words, you know, rejoice always. And again, I say, don't worry about anything. That's kind of the feeling you have when you're sitting on the beach, right? Like, you know, I'm on the beach. I'm not worried about the mortgage payment or rising gas prices or what's for dinner. On the beach, I'm not worried about my kids' grades or my parents' health. Rejoice and don't worry are not. Rejoice is the dominant thought, not worry. Imagine someone in prison. Rejoicing is not the dominant thought as would be on the beach, but those are the words contained in the letter to the Philippians as Paul writes from his imprisonment. Rejoice, don't worry, don't be anxious for think on these things, whatever are lovely and true. That's what he writes from his imprisonment. And there we have it, the immediate context of Paul's influential writing and the lead-in to one of the most oft-quoted passages in the Bible. As Paul sits in prison, he writes, or probably is dictating to a stenographer, a scribe, who is writing his words as he speaks. They're writing to this church about how he rejoices at the way this church has ministered to him in his present circumstance through their giving and their support of him. He reports that his connection to God had enabled him to embrace a transformational understanding of what it means to live in challenging situations. One of the reasons why I believe that these sermons are timely is that we have to believe in God's ability at all times, not just when things are good, not just when we're sitting on the beach and there's nothing to worry about, but through all circumstances. We have been living through this global pandemic. We have said the word pandemic more times than the word probably has ever been uttered in our lifetimes. Pandemic, pandemic, pandemic. We hear it all the time, and it's important for us to see and to be revealed, that God would reveal to us this transformational truth. And Paul has learned something in these challenging situations. He writes to the Philippians, I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed, of going hungry, of having plenty, and of being in need. Well, what have you learned, Paul? What is the secret? Well, the secret is this, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's the secret of how to live in any circumstances. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Just last week, a guy by the name of Tim Tebow. How many of y'all know who Tim Tebow is? Tim Tebow made the news. Tim Tebow played quarterback for the University of Florida. He won a national championship when Urban Meyer, former coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, was the coach. He won the Heisman Trophy. That's the best player in college football. Most are quick to note Tim Tebow's life and his unashamed profession of the Christian faith. He would take a knee and pray every time he scored a touchdown. He'd bow down in the end zone and pray. He wasn't the first to do that. He wasn't the only one to do that. But for whatever reason, people kind of highlighted that and put a spotlight on that. He also would wear eye black, you know, the black stuff under your eyes that still to this day, I have no clue what that does, how it helps, how it works. But people wear eye black all the time. But on his eye black, if you see on the eye black, he would put Philippians on one side and 4:13 on the other side. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13 is a key verse in so many athletes' lives. You hear so many athletes repeat this phrase and say this phrase and put it on their t-shirts and even on their bodies. I'll show you that in a second. One of the greatest rugby players of all time. I don't like watch a lot of rugby, but I know there's like rugby, like with 15 players. Richard, he knows about rugby. Richard Zoll here. But then there's rugby sevens, you know. Now, one of the greatest rugby seven players of all time is a guy by the name of Wysel Serovi. He was known for quoting this verse in interviews. He'd be interviewed, and he would go ahead and quote that verse before he began to talk about the match. We also learned from his teammates that he had this verse tattooed on his stomach, on his torso. Many have inked this verse on their arms and on their sides, and they've put Philippians 4:13. And listen, for good reason, it is a powerful verse that says a lot about the source of our power and strength. But does quoting this verse unlock some special superpower? Is it like He-Man, you know, one of my childhood heroes in a cartoon who would lift up its sword and by the power of Grayskull, I have the power. And then he would, you know, get these bigger, he was already kind of muscular just as a regular person, but then he got like some super duper duper muscles. It's like when we quote Philippians 4:13, does that like unleash the power of Christ and we become like this superhero? Is that what Philippians 4:13 does? Or is it a declaration of truth regarding our ability and strength to live based solely and purely on the power of God, on God's provision? Herein lies, I think, the power and beauty of Paul's words in Philippians 4:13. Our strength and power to overcome and flourish in any circumstance is rooted in God's ability. And recall, God is able, through the power that is at work within us, to accomplish abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. And for this reason, we explore what we can do as we grow in our appreciation for being the offspring of God with limitless power and the God of endless possibilities. And for this reason, we are not constrained and we're not confined or constricted or controlled by our circumstances, our situations, our dispositions, or our surroundings. We are a people with conviction. And we proceed knowing that God will take care of us. He will provide for us. He will bless us. And knowing He will bless us will position us to bless others. God is our source. And knowing that, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. God is our portion. And knowing that, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. God is our supplier. And knowing that, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. God is our motivation. And knowing that, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. God is our glory, the lifter of our heads. And knowing that, I know that I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. The secret is out, and the secret is this: my God is rich, my God has plenty, and my God, Philippians 4:19, my God will fully satisfy every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. See, I can understand why athletes are drawn to Philippians 4:13. Last month was the NFL draft, where college athletes are picked by professional teams in the National Football League. These athletes have trained and played their whole lives for that moment. To hear their names called by the commissioner of the NFL. They come up on stage, they put on a hat. Now, I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, grew up in Buffalo. I think this is gonna be a good year for the Buffalo Bears. Just wanna put that out there. But I'm looking to obviously to see who the Buffalo Bills are going to pick. But this year, Buffalo Bills, one of the rare years. We had a good year last year, so we picked way late in the draft. I think we had like the third from last pick in the first round. So I'm not watching to see who Buffalo is going to pick during the first round as much as I'm watching to see some of the stories of the draft picks. The draft networks, ESPN, the NFL Network, they do a good job of just producing these really feel-good stories of the backgrounds of some of these NFL prospects. One such prospect was a guy by the name of Kwity Paye. Now, Ohio State fans, please don't regurgitate your breakfast. He went to the University of Michigan. He was a pretty big guy. He's a really good defensive end, probably one of the only bright spots on the Michigan team. See, I got you covered, Buckeye fans. One could argue that he was one of the most, if not the most fascinating prospects in the entire draft. His story actually starts with his mom. A woman by the name of Agnes Paye. Zero in on Agnes Paye. Agnes was born in Liberia. And if you know anything about Liberia, Liberia has suffered from civil war for many, many years. In the early 90s, Liberia began to go through. One of our members, Thomas Jardier, he's also our janitor for the building. Thomas is from Liberia. And if you want to know some information about the pain and heartache of living in a civil war-torn region, talk to him about his experience in Liberia. But Agnes and her family, they lived in Liberia. And one of the things that the rebel factions of the community where she lived, they would come in and they would set houses on fire from the back, and the fire would then push people to run out of their homes as the houses were burning down, and then the rebels would shoot the people as they were coming out of the homes. That was the fate of Agnes and her father and some of her siblings. They were murdered in that civil war. But fortunately, Agnes was able to escape. She escaped to a neighboring country, Sierra Leone. And while in Sierra Leone, she gave birth to two sons, and her son, Kwity, who she named after her father, who was murdered. Kwity is a word that means civilization. But then the civil war began to spill over into Sierra Leone, and they found themselves having to go across the ocean, and they came to America. And they settled in Providence, Rhode Island, with several refugees from Liberia. It was a hard life. They lived in a poor neighborhood in Providence, Rhode Island, and they had to live in poverty, but thankful for the opportunity to be safe from the threat of violence or being murdered during that civil war. Her son, Kwity, while they lived in poverty, must have been eating really well because he grew and grew and grew and was became very big, began to develop some really keen athletic skills. And someone told him that, man, if you want to make the best out of your athletic ability, you're going to have to get out of the public school system. You're going to have to go to this Catholic school. It's a premier school. They will train you. You'll become a football superstar. It costs $10,000 a year. Kwity, in eighth grade, goes to his mom and says, "Mom, please send me to this school." She said, "I can't do it. I can't afford it. There's no way. I got other children." Kwity said, "Listen, Mom, if you send me to this school, I promise you that you will not have to pay for my college. I will get college paid for." So she relented. She started working two jobs, three jobs, to send her son to this Catholic school, and he excelled. He excelled. He was a beast. And he caught the eyes from Division I schools, including Jim Harbaugh, the head coach at the University of Michigan. And there Kwity Paye went. And he went to his mom after he graduated and said, "I told you, if you do this for me, you'd never have to pay for college. During his speech when he chose Michigan, a lot of people didn't know the struggle that that family was going through. They didn't know that she was working three jobs. She worked so much, she never saw him play a down of football in high school because she was always working. He had to take buses. It took him 2 hours to get to school. He was in all honors classes, so he would go to school and go to honors classes, go to football classes, then come home and then have to study, you know, help him do things around the house with the mom. That's Quiddy Pay. That's his background. He's a senior at Michigan. I want you to watch, you know, a couple minutes of what happened on draft night. And if I'm successful, I'm going to get some Ohio State fans to actually root for somebody from the University of Michigan. And if that happens, we can really confess that God is able. Let's watch this video.
Welcome to the 2021 NFL Draft.
So the fifth pick already knows he's the pick already.
Quiddy, projected to go as high as 11 in some mock drafts, sits and waits with his family as the first 20 picks go by. And then 3 hours after the draft began.
Hello?
How you doing?
All good.
We're going to take you right here.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, we're excited to get you, man. You stand for everything we stand for, brother. And we can't be more excited to get you here in Indianapolis.
All right. Good. Talk to you soon, all right?
All right. Take care. Bye.
Yes! With the 21st pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Indianapolis Colts select Quiddy Pay, defensive end, Michigan.
Draped in the flag of Liberia, his mother's home country, Quiddy and his family celebrate a dream realized.
What does it change for the prospect for your life and your family's life?
For my family, she's done working. She's retired.
I'm so happy. I'm overwhelmed.
She never asked for anything in this life, but for me, I take it personal to make sure that she gets everything that she never had. I feel like that's why I work so hard, just because I know what she's been through. I want to make sure she never has to lift a finger again. I'm holding my promise to her.
Quiddy just told the world that his mother, she never has to work again. She's retired. Quiddy's name means civilization, and he has vowed to one day go back to Liberia to help rebuild the places that were ravaged by war and violence. He wants to give hope to children that they, from their circumstances, can rise up and be a blessing toward a better civilization. And what about mom? Agnes said, "It's a dream. I wanted my son to succeed this way as a little girl, separating myself from my family and was able to at a young age. God gave me an opportunity to risk myself for my own kids so I could see them get to this point. I'm very, very happy." In dark places, dark circumstances, God will supply a way. He will supply an escape. He will supply the means. He will supply resources. He will supply other people. He will supply solutions. He will supply motivation. He will supply. My God is able, church, and we can do all things. My goal for today particularly after showing that video, was twofold. For Buckeye fans, I wanted to make it really hard for you to root against someone who went to Michigan. But more than that, my goal is for us to know that God is able, and through him, there is so much we can do. And when a hard circumstance seems to encourage us to wave the white flag of surrender, we remember Paul in a prison cell, house arrest in prison. We remember Paul who wrote, "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." Well, Paul, you're in prison. There's no way that you can have the impact that you... Man, the gospel is being spread even more so since I've been in prison. Because I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Whether we are a church of 50 or a church of 50,000, because God is able, we can do all things. Whether we have a budget of $2 million or $200, we can do all things through him who gives us strength, because God is able. Today, in 2021, we live in the shadow of the cross of Christ Jesus. A cross that for many represented weakness. It represented defeat. It represented lowliness. It represented you lost. That's what the Romans thought. But for Jesus, the cross represented power. It represented victory. It represented overcoming. And today in 2021, we live in the shadow of that cross. And beneath the cross of Jesus, there we live and there we flourish. And there we profess that we can do all things through him who gives us strength. Because God is able. God was able to take a symbol of destruction and excruciating pain. God took that and flipped it, and it turned into power. So even Jesus was able to flourish in all circumstances. He has given us the ability to flourish in all circumstances. As we sing the song of invitation, if there's a way that we can be helpful to you, and you come into a fuller realization that you can do all things through him who gives you strength, allow us, afford us the opportunity to surround you and pray for you. If there's a way that we can be helpful to you in your walk, if there is right now you're living in a challenging situation and you just think, I don't think I can emerge. I don't think I can do anything in this situation. I want you to think of Paul in a prison cell. I want you to think of Agnes escaping war-torn Liberia. I want you to think about all the situations probably in your own life where you thought there was no way, but God made a way, where you thought it was impossible and God said, no, it is possible. I want you to think about how God can, through the power that is at work within you, make some things happen so that you can make that same declaration that Paul made nearly 2,000 years ago. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. As we sing this song of invitation, if there's anything that we can do to be a blessing to you, please come. If you're here, you can come forward and share that with an elder. If you're at home, share that in the chat section there, and we'll be sure to address your need. Let's stand. Let's sing the song.